What's up? It's Marvin of the Miles Ahead Podcast. And for today's episode, it's going to be based on the NFL and the NBA. I'm going to be giving my perspective on the wild card weekend games. I'm going to be giving my review on it. And then I'm going to give my predictions for the divisional round, as well as I'm going to give my perspective on Tom Brady potentially retiring and if I believe that he should. As for the NBA, I'm going to be giving my perspective on Steve Kerr and his comments on Stephen Curry pertaining to comparing him to Michael Jordan. So let's dive into it. But first, I want to tell you guys to hit the like, comment, and subscribe. Check out the channel. Show your support. I have about 50 plus episodes on Anchor, Spotify, and Apple, and about 15 episodes on YouTube. So be on the lookout for better content and more surprises. So let's dive into the episode. So for the first half of the wild card weekend matchups, I'm going to be giving my perspective on the AFC part. So I'm going to be giving my perspective on the AFC conference, and I'm going to dive into that first. So for the first game that was, very entertaining, in my opinion, it was the Jaguars versus the Chargers. This game was, supposed to be lopsided at first. Okay. The Chargers, they were forcing the ball out when it came to, they were able to capitalize on the turnovers of the Jaguars. Okay. The Jaguars, they had five turnovers. Okay. Trevor Lawrence, he threw four interceptions, okay, in the first half. And there was also a forced fumble in there as well. And guess what? They were able to come back and win. Now, guess what? I also picked the Jaguars to win last week. Give me my credit. It's well deserved. But the reason why I picked the Jaguars to win is because of their weapons. I thought that Trevor Lawrence was the better quarterback. And I also believe that Doug Peterson was the better coach. And all of those things were proven. Okay. I felt like Trevor Lawrence had nothing to lose. Okay. And he was playing with a supreme amount of confidence. All right. Now, when it came to the Chargers, on the other hand, in the first half, they were dominant in terms of their defense and their offense. Okay. But what kind of, hurt them in the second half was they couldn't get any stops. Okay. And that was extremely important. And when it came to Brandon Staley, their coach, right, he was much more conservative than he was in years prior. Okay. In my opinion, I felt like he definitely should have taken a few more risks in order for them to get this victory. But they didn't. And what was really missing from this game was Mike Williams. I felt like he would have played a huge part in terms of them getting the victory. And also, them not having a consistent running game. I felt like that really hurt them as well. Not to mention the kicker, okay? The field goal kicker. He missed the field goal. All right. Now, I'm not saying that that potentially would have won it for them, but at the end of the day, it would have been more of a cushion for the Chargers to come away with that victory. Would have been a closer game. And not only that, the Jaguars, they would have had to maybe do an onside kick in order for them to get, the victory, towards the end. And plus, then on top of that, Brandon Staley, he also had very black bad. He also had very bad clock management towards the end. What he was supposed to do was he was supposed to run the clock out. Instead, he was giving the Jaguars more time to operate. And that's not what he was supposed to be doing. So, in my opinion, I felt like he definitely should have ran like some jet sweeps or something like that to switch it up. But that didn't happen. So as for the Jaguars, on the other hand, which I had no doubt in them coming out in the victory, coming up with the victory, even though they were down by 27 points. I just felt like as soon as Trevor Lawrence got into some rhythm, settled down from being startled, and, you know, started to play his game, I felt like they were going to come away with this victory. Okay? And it took him getting the first touchdown for that to happen. And once that happened, there was no stopping. Okay? And the defense, they showed up in the second half. Okay? They were only, they only allowed the Chargers to only get 3 points. All right? So it was a very good game, very entertaining. But, hey, I was right again. I picked. So that's my perspective on the Jaguars versus the Chargers. And the next game I'm going to move on to is actually the Dolphins versus the Bills. Okay? This matchup was very entertaining as well. And what happened in this game was it was 17-0 at one point. And then after that, next thing you know, Josh Allen, he's not playing the perfect game. He's out there trying to be Brett Favre, but a little bit worse in terms of his turnovers. It almost seems like he needs to get another turnover just to, you know, let everybody know that he got his first one. That's how bad he is at getting turnovers. All right? So when it comes to Josh Allen, you know, he's very inconsistent. All right, 1 minute he's hot, 1 minute he's not. All right? And I did pick the Bills for them to win this game. I did. Right? But what made it tough for the Bills to come out with this victory is because of Josh Allen. All right? They just continue to turn the ball over. All right? This team does. And when it comes to Josh Allen and his abilities, like I said, he's very talented. All right? But he just doesn't know when to do the check down or stop being Superman all the time. All right? A lot of times it works in his favor. But in this situation, it almost cost him. And how would it look for a potential Super Bowl contender to end up losing to a third-string quarterback? It would have been horrific all over the media. He would never be able to live it down, right? And essentially, the third-string quarterback, he had a relatively good game. Okay, he wasn't that bad. He was all right. And, you know, the receivers on that squad, they did all right on the Dolphins. But like I said, it was, you know, made very close because of not only Josh Allen, but also the defense. Okay, the defense, they wasn't showing up, okay? Like, they were able to get key catches. They were able to show up and, you know, make things happen when it came to the Dolphins, right? And I personally think that it's because of them missing Von Miller, okay? He was able to get to the quarterback and mess with, you know, the system of what the players were trying to do with their flow when it came to running or even passing the football. Von Miller, he's a very big game player. All right, we saw what he did against the Rams. We saw what he did with the Broncos. Okay, he's a problem. And essentially, when it comes to somebody like Von Miller, who's very pivotal, you can't replace him. All right? And basically, this game, it was, you know, it ended up being nip and tuck. All right. The Dolphins, they did end up leading at one point, but the Bills, they ended up doing just enough to get this victory. Cole Beasley showed up. Stephon Diggs showed up. Okay. And, you know, they were able to get this victory. So for the next matchup that happened, it was between the Bengals versus the Ravens. And the Bengals, they ended up winning. I ended up being right on picking them to win. And the reason why that the Bengals were, winning this game is because of their defense. It was very opportunistic. And to me, I did not expect for this game to be close. Okay, but the thing is they were playing an AFC North rival. And I ended up being wrong. I thought that it would not be that competitive. You know, Tyler Huntley, he was playing, above average quarterbacking. And, his defense was on fire. And, they were able to get to Joe Burrow. He's having issues with his tackles and, he's losing tackle left and right, each tackle left and right. And, hopefully, we'll see what happens. But, pertaining to this game, it was very entertaining. And this game, it was actually lost on the Ravens by a few miscues, honestly. You have the bad, coaching within the 2 minutes, the last 2 minutes of the game. There should have been a timeout there. There shouldn't have been a huddle at that point. And they should have just ran a play very quickly, but they didn't, right? And then Tyler Huntley, he ended up throwing an interception, which happens, right? But he ended up also giving the football away for a fumble for a return touchdown, okay? And that was very unexpected because at that point, the Bengals, they were in dire straits. Nobody knew if the Bengals were going to come out on top. And this ended up being the game sealer for the Bengals. Okay? And they had a chance of tying the game. They really did. But it was too much pressure from defensive backs to get in Huntley's face, so then he would not have enough time to throw the football in the end zone, okay? And he ended up missing the receiver, and it did get tipped in the air, but it still wasn't caught. So that's what happened during that time. But as for Joe Burrow, he was pretty good. But I did expect for him to play a little bit better. He did miss some passes. And Ja'Marr Chase, he also dropped a few passes as well. And I just think that, this game, it was just a tough game. But I was right about who I predicted to win. But I did expect for it to be a blowout, and it did not end up happening that way. But we're definitely going to see what happens for the next game. We're going to see what my prediction will be for the next game. So, last but not least, before I segue to the next game, would they have won if Lamar Jackson had played in this game? I think that it is very possible, okay? I believe that he possibly would have tied the game, most definitely, and it definitely would have gone to overtime. But the toss-up for me would have been on, is Lamar Jackson going to be doing it with his arm or with his legs? Okay, and he has just got it, and he had just got injured recently. And people, they're making speculations about whether or not if he should have played or if he shouldn't. Listen, at the end of the day, he didn't play, right? And does that automatically change the outcome of this game if he did? We'll never know. But at the end of the day, he sat out. And to me, I do believe that it would have, helped a little bit. But I also believe that, him not being able to run the way that he normally runs, I really do feel like that would have affected him. I do not believe they would have came out in this victory in an overtime. Okay? It would have he would have been having to be more dependent on throwing the football more than he would have to be dependent on running with the football. And we all know what he's special at doing. So, to me, I think that Lamar Jackson, he would have done okay, but I don't think that he would have been good enough to get this victory only because he might have to actually throw the football outside the numbers. And, you know, we know that he's not really that good at that. So that's my perspective on the Bengals versus the Ravens and also a little bit of Lamar Jackson. So the next thing I'm going to move on to is my perspective on the NFC conference. Okay, so the NFC conference for the wild card weekend side, it was extremely, you know, nice to watch, obviously. You know, it was a lot of entertaining games in that area. And, you know, I'm just going to dive into the first game that was, you know, very good. So the 49ers, they were balling the whole game, right? You had Brock Purdy, who was on fire, doing his thing. You had Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey. They were unstoppable. And then you also had that defense, who just came right in the nick of time, you know, being able to force turnovers like usual. Geno Smith, he was all right. Okay, he was all right. And for the first half, you know, he might have been able to make this even more of a game. And he was making it a game, right? But you got to finish. You got to finish. And he wasn't able to finish strong. DK Metcalf, he was a little bit shut down in this game. You know, he wasn't going, you know, full-on beast mode. And, you know, that's to be expected when they're game planning for somebody like him. You know, he's obviously going to be doubled or triple teamed or something like that. So I can see why, you know, he would not really get off. But when it came to Brock Purdy, you know, he threw for 332 yards, three touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, and also a 132 QBR. All right, so he was on fire the whole game. And then you also had Christian McCaffrey, who had 119 yards in rushing on 15 attempts. I mean, it just sounds like he was just getting started. Had Deebo Samuel, who combined for over 165 yards when it came to receiving and rushing. I mean, he was unstoppable. That injury is in the wind. What really, you know, kind of hurt the Seahawks is they didn't have, you know, a great running game in this game. Okay? So I felt like that really hurt, you know, the Seahawks. Not only that, you know, their defense wasn't really up to snuff in this game. So that's what happened in this game, and that's my perspective on this game. Obviously, I picked the 49ers to come out with this victory. So for the next game that was very entertaining, and I was wrong about picking, it was the Giants versus the Vikings. Kirk Cousins, he was on fire the whole game, all the way up until that last part of the game. Okay. I mean, he had threw for over 200 and 30 plus yards. He didn't throw an interception, which, you know, a lot of people, they might have believed that he would have been able to do at that time. I also believe that it's possible that he would have thrown an interception, but it didn't end up happening. But what cost him this game was that last throw, okay? He threw it to his tight end, who was balling the whole game, okay? Not going to take that away from him. But the angle that he decided to throw that football to his tight end. And not only that, the angle at where the tight end tried to catch the football, it was just way too tough. All right? Not to mention Justin Jefferson, he didn't show up at all. Adam Thielen, you know, he was decent. But at the same time, when it came to Justin Jefferson, he was a no-show in this game. Now, I understand why. It's because of the quarterback. But at the same time, he does have to be a little bit better in terms of, you know, turning it up a notch. Okay, this is the playoffs. It's not the regular season. All right. Now, when it came to the Vikings defense, they just wasn't good enough. Okay. I thought that they would show up in this game, and that ended up being the exact opposite. The exact opposite. The Giants, they were running with the football wherever and wherever they wanted to. Daniel Jones, I mean, he was on fire with throwing the football. He was unstoppable. He threw for 301 yards, two touchdowns, and he had 123 QBR. I mean, he was a problem all game long. He led the team in rushing in this playoff game. Saquon Barkley combined for 109 yards in rushing and receiving, and he rushed for two touchdowns. Then you also had players like Isaiah Hodgins and Darius Slayton combined for 193 yards in receiving. They were just unstoppable as offense. And as a defense, on the other hand, they were just able to get into Kirk Cousins' face. All right, they were able to pressure him, make him feel like, you know, it's not going to be easy. They hit him a couple times. I mean, there was no sacks, but he felt, you know, pressured. All right, he felt like he had to get it off in time and stuff like that. And on that last throw, which he definitely did have more time. To me, I felt like he should have launched it more down the field. But on that last throw, the defense was coming. But at the end of the day, he definitely should have been able to make a better decision and not throw it to the tight end. All right? That's something that he should not have done at that moment. But like I said, Kirk Cousins, he had, you know, a very good season. But in this game, When the time, you know, was needed the most, he didn't show up. So that's what happened in this game. And I'm going to move on to the next one. So for the last game that happened for the wild card weekend game matchups, it was between the Buccaneers versus the Cowboys. All right. The Cowboys, they dominated this game. They really did show up in this game. They balled all the way out. They were great on offense and on defense. I mean, they played a complete game. A game that you would expect to happen against the Buccaneers. Okay? The Buccaneers, listen, I picked the Buccaneers to win only because of the greatness of Tom Brady. And I felt like their receivers will show up in this game. All right. And that did not happen at all. Also, the running game wasn't good at all either. At all. Tom Brady, he threw the ball 66 times. All right. I mean, he had only 53% when it came to completion percentage. All right. That was not good. And I expected for Tom Brady to show up in this game. And he did it. So I was wrong. The defense didn't show up enough in this game at all. Now, Mike Evans, he definitely did have a drop touchdown. But guess what? It shouldn't have gone to a last minute type of score for that to happen. All right? That should not have happened. But other than the kicker, of the Dallas Cowboys, they played a perfect game for this game. All right? But guess what? They played against a trash team. A trash team. All right? At the end of the day, they played against a trash team that wasn't great in the regular season. They honestly should not have even made the playoffs. They shouldn't. That's how bad they were. I mean, I much would have preferred to see the Detroit Lions, okay? But obviously they would not have been going up against the Cowboys, but you get my drift. But that's the team that I would have much rather preferred to see in the playoffs. Or the Panthers. I mean, I felt like at certain points in time, they were playing better than the Buccaneers. So, as for this game, Dak Prescott, man, I mean, he threw for 4 touchdowns, right? And he also rushed for a touchdown as well. Okay? Not to mention, he threw for over 305, he threw for over 300 yards. And the running game was on fire as well. Okay, Tony Pollard and Dak Prescott, they were able to get those 10 yards. Okay, I mean, even Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, he was able to get a couple key runs here and there. But I did not expect, you know, for the Cowboys to run over the Buccaneers like that. But, hey, better late than never. So, but do I think they're going to end up winning the next game that they go up against? We're going to see what happens when I come up with my predictions. So, for this game, complete domination for the Cowboys. It was some signs of life there. When it came to the kicker, the field goal kicker, who was terrible. I don't know where he was getting the yips from out of nowhere, but apparently now that's within him. So we'll see what will happen in the next game. But that's my perspective on the Cowboys versus the Buccaneers. Now I'm going to move on to my predictions. So for the next notable thing I'm going to be speaking about, it's going to be my predictions on the AFC divisional round. Okay? So for the first game that's going to happen, it's going to be between the Jaguars versus the Chiefs. So I'm predicting that the Chiefs are going to win this game 30-24. I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to show up. He's going to put the nail in the coffin. I think that he's going to ball all the way out. I'm expecting for him to, you know, do his thing when it comes to running with the football here and there, doing whatever it takes to win, like usual. And I'm expecting for him to throw some dimes. All right? I'm not expecting for him to throw an interception at all. I think that he's going to be very accurate. And I'm also expecting for Andy Reid to involve the running game more when it comes to McKinnon and when it comes to Pacheco. All right, I'm expecting for him to involve them a lot. And I just think that they are extremely good at running the football. And I just think that, you know, they're going to control this game a lot better than the Chargers did. Okay, Andy Reid, he knows what to do with the offense. And, you know, I'm expecting for Travis Kelce to show up. I'm also expecting for Juju Smith-Schuster to show up as well. So that's just my expectations on this game. And the defense, listen, they have a lot to prove in this game, but they are second in sacks. So I am expecting for them to get to the quarterback, all right? Now, I do expect for Trevor Lawrence to put up a fight. Of course he is, all right? There's nothing to lose with him. I'm also expecting for Christian Kirk and also Zay Jones to do his thing as well. But at the end of the day, I just feel like the Chiefs, they have a little bit more weapons. Despite their defense not being able to be that good when it comes to the passing game, I think that they're going to score, but I do not believe that they're going to be able to overcome this time in this game. So my prediction is for the Chiefs to win 30-24. So for the next game that's going to happen, which is going to be between the Bengals versus the Bills. Okay, this is my AFC conference side. And I'm predicting that this is going to be kind of a high-scoring game. So I'm going to go with the Bengals to win this game, 33-28. Okay, that's my prediction. I think that the Bengals, you know, they're going to be able to get the Josh Allen. I feel like Josh Allen, he's going to put himself in positions to turn the football over. I also feel like, you know, they are missing the Bills. They're missing Von Miller a lot in this game. Now, the Bengals, they do have a bad issue with their O-line. It's terrible, right? But I do think that they do have way too many weapons on this squad with P-Ron and also Nixon. And they also got T. Higgins. They got Boyd. They got Jamar Chase. I mean, it's too much for the Bills to handle. Okay? And I'm aware that the Bills, they have weapons too. They do. They do. Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley. But I do not believe that they're going to utilize their run game correctly. All right? I don't think they're going to be running with the football enough. They're going to be trying to make Josh Allen Superman, and he's not. Right? And that's going to cost them this game. Right? And Gabriel Davis, he can play too. He can play. But for this game, Josh Allen, he's going to have to be on super, you know, greatness in order for them to get this victory. Okay? I am expecting for it to be high scoring. And I'm going to go with the Bengals to win this game 33-28. So that's my prediction. Now for the next game that's going to happen, I'm going to be going over to the NFC conference side. And for this game, we have the Eagles versus the Giants. Now, the Eagles, they're having a lot of issues when it comes to their injuries and when it comes to their O-line. All right, Jalen Hurts, he's injured also. He was an MVP candidate. But, you know, on the other side, the Giants are kind of playing with house money here. I mean, they can, you know, upset the Eagles. They can. Okay? I mean, Daniel Jones, he probably had the best game of his life. Saquon Barkley, he had a great game. So did Slayton and Darius Jones. Their defense pressured the quarterback. But in this game, which is very pivotal, I don't believe that's going to happen. I think that the Eagles are going to show up in this game. I think that Jalen Hurts, despite his shoulder injury, I believe that he's going to still be able to be a problem. And I'm taking the Eagles to get this victory by the score of 27-20. Okay? 27-20. That's my prediction. I do believe that the Giants are going to show up. I believe that. But will it be good enough to get this victory? No. Okay? They got A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, who's a Pro Bowler this year. All right, he played great all season. They got Devontae Smith, another problem. Unstoppable. Miles Sanders. Okay? I feel like the coach, he's going to be implementing the running and, you know, the passing game at a very good level. Okay? And I think they're going to be able to stop the run of the Giants better than the Vikings did for sure. Okay? They're better defensive. All right? And I also believe that I just don't see the Giants being able to step up when it comes to the biggest moments of this game. Now, I do expect for the Eagles to be able to do that. But the Giants, I just don't see it. I mean, you could kind of see it in their eyes a little bit when it comes to their receivers. Just look at Slayton. Okay? Just look at him. Do you really believe that he's going to be making that huge catch? No. You can see it in his eyes. It's not going to happen. I mean, he almost, you know, gave up the game last game. I mean, he could have. You know, but he, like I said, he had a good game all the way up until that moment. Right? But the thing about Slayton, like, he should have just had the mindset of make the next play. But, you know, we never did get to see that happen because Kirk Cousins, you know, he basically gave the game away at that moment. But let's move on. I just don't believe that the Giants, they have the mentality to get this victory. All right? They do have good talent. And I'm not expecting for Daniel Jones to have over 300 plus yards in passing the football. That's not happening again in this playoff run, if he even gets past the Eagles. I just don't see that. Right? But like I said, when it comes to running the football, I don't believe that he's going to be as effective as he was. And to me, the only way that they're going to get this victory is if Saquon Barkley takes over. Okay? He has to let everybody know that he's here. Okay? I mean, he would darn near have to rush for 150 yards, in my opinion, and get a couple touchdowns. He would have to do that. All right? But I don't see it for this game, so that's my prediction. Now, for the last game that everybody loves, which is going to be between the Cowboys versus the 49ers. Okay, everybody's going to be watching this game. Everybody. This is a huge game for the Cowboys, more so than the 49ers. All right? Huge game. And the team that I believe that's going to be sweaty, that's going to be nervous, that's going to be scared, all right, that's going to be shut down, it's going to be the Cowboys. Of course it is. Why not the Cowboys? Right? Psych! It's going to be the Cowboys. All right? So yes, the Cowboys, they're going to be overmatching this game. Okay? When it comes to running the football, 49ers got that with Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuels. All right? They're dogs out there. To me, the better quarterback has been Brock Purdy. All right? They got a tight end who blocks everywhere when it comes to George Kittle, right? They got a great playmaker on the defensive side when it comes to Nick Bosa. They got Armstead on the defensive side as well. Like, they have huge issues for this team. I think that the 49ers, they're going to play a complete game. Again, all right? Now, do I think it's going to be a blowout? I wouldn't go that far. right? But I will say that I'm going to take the 49ers 30 to 20. 30 to 20. All right? I feel like they're going to be super nervous when it comes to the Cowboys. I mean, who knows? I think that potentially Dak Prescott, he may fumble the football. He may even throw an interception. This is a huge game on Dak Prescott. Huge game for his career. All right? This is a defining moment. Should his fans have believed in him or not? This is that type of moment. Okay? And I do not expect for CeeDee Lamb, you know, to go off for 100 plus yards. That's not happening in this game. All right, this is a different type of field. All right, this is the 49ers, and they have been balling all season long. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, ever since he's been there, has had a touchdown in every game. Every game. Right? And when it comes to Deebo Samuel, like I said, he's a straight-up problem. You know, I think that the Cowboys are going to wilt beneath the pressure. All right, and they're not going to come up on top. They're not going to be the diamond. They're not. It's going to be the 49ers to get this victory. 30 to 20. I do expect for the defense to get, you know, some sacks. I'm also expecting for, you know, their defense to get some turnovers as well. So that's my perspective on the 49ers. As for the Cowboys, on the other hand, you know, I just don't think that the coach has it in them to draw up good enough plays to get this victory. Okay? I don't think that he has that speech in the locker room. Okay? To have everybody feel like they could do it. Dak Prescott does. He does. He has the intangibles. But he doesn't have the tangibles. Right? He doesn't. I mean, he has great leadership qualities about him when it comes to talking in the media, maybe even galvanizing the troops, right? But when it comes to his ability, I just don't see it. All right? Make a break game for him. All right? When it comes to the belief in Dak Prescott. Listen, if he balls out and he does his thing and, you know, he gets to the NFC conference game, all props to him, man. For real. I mean, that would really tell somebody that he's definitely right on the door when it comes to those top echelon quarterbacks. All right? You can make a case that he's definitely, you know, a top seven quarterback in the league, top five quarterback in the league. If he gets the Super Bowl, and even if he beats the 49ers, which is a huge deal, listen, you got to give it to him. You got to give it to him. And that's it on my thoughts on the 49ers versus the Cowboys. Okay? And that's it on my thoughts on my predictions for the divisional round. So the next thing I'm going to move on is my perspective on Tom Brady and whether or not I think that he should retire. Okay, so yes, I think that Tom Brady should retire. Okay, I think that he should be done with football. I don't believe that he, you know, had a great season this year. Okay, he was terrible in terms of throwing the football, although he was a little bit better than Aaron Rodgers. I would say he wasn't good. Okay, I mean, he was missing throws left and right. I just don't think that his body can take, you know, the pounding that he was getting. when it comes to the defensive backs coming to him and getting to him, and the offensive line, you know, they're just going through it, man. There's too many injuries there, too many issues there. And, you know, honestly, I think that Tom Brady probably should have retired last year. I mean, he was playing great last year. He played great in the playoffs. And, you know, he went out with a good game. But if he decides to play again, okay, that just lets you know that he's just not ready to let the game go. He's not. Okay? And that's the issue when it comes to, you know, the athletes or football players and basketball players and boxing and stuff like that. You know, you got fans of you. Fans. I mean, you grow up seeing the crowd cheer for you on a regular basis. Okay? That adrenaline rush is something that you always want for the rest of your life. Okay? That's something that he's having an issue with leaving behind. But to me, if Tom Brady leaves, if he leaves or if he goes or retires, I bet you that he'll never touch a football again. You want to know why? Because he got the most out of his career. Got the most out of his career. He won 7 championships. I mean, he did it the longest. Okay? He worked the hardest. All right? He was able to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. All right? And, you know, he was extremely great at his craft. All right? He has some clutch moments. Right? But I understand why it will be tough for him to walk away. Because of that crowd. All right? You want to prove your haters wrong? You want to prove you want to prove your teammates right? You want to prove the crowd right? That's the issue that Tom Brady's going through. Okay? He loves the game. But not only does he love the game, he loves the win. He loves the win too. So that's the issue when it comes to Tom Brady. I think that he should definitely retire because his body can't handle it. What more does Tom Brady have to prove at this point? What more does he have to prove? Okay? Like I said, I think that he should have retired last year, played great last year. All right? But this year, should have retired before the season even started. Okay? All right, because he's not going to be able to take those hits the same as he was. He's just not. Next year, no. And I think that the rest of the NFL, they should probably just say no to Tom Brady all across the board. All right? I understand that he has great leadership qualities. I understand that. But if anything, if Tom Brady is really, really that, you know, built on trying to come back again, he should come back as a quarterback coach or an assistant or an offensive coordinator. Do something like that. But I do not believe that Tom Brady should take another hit in the NFL again. All right, I think that he should be done. And, I mean, Hall of Fame career. All right? Hall of Fame career. One of the greatest to ever play. All right, I'm not going to say that he's the greatest. I'll take Jerry Rice. But, you know, it's a great case for him. No lower than, you know, top five when it comes to the all-time greats. So that's just my perspective on it. And for the next topic is we're going to dive into the NBA. And this is going to be the final topic. And basically, I'm going to give my perspective on Steph Curry. Okay. And Steve Kerr's comments comparing Steph Curry to Michael Jordan. Okay. Now he was doing it when it came to the crowd and also, you know, the inspiring gameplay and everybody trying to, you know, when he plays in the away games, there's people in the crowd with 30 jerseys on, you know, with Stephen Curry jerseys on. And also, you know, he was referring to back in the day when it came to Michael Jordan, you know, in the away crowds, he would see the opposing team's fans have Michael Jordan jerseys on. Okay. Now, is Stephen Curry the modern day Michael Jordan? That's what Steve Kerr was trying to make reference to. Now, as far as the hype, no, he's not on the level of Michael Jordan as far as the hype. Okay, he's not. Okay. But guess what? It's a lot more similarities when it comes to Michael Jordan and Steph than LeBron and Michael Jordan. It is. All right. Unfortunately, it is. All right. Michael Jordan and Steph, you know, they're not body built like LeBron James. They're not looking like a huge Hulk when it comes to coming down the court. No, they're not at all. Right? They both changed the game, both Michael Jordan and Stephen Curry. All right. Steph, he did it for the three-point line. Michael Jordan, he did it for the dunk. And also, not only the dunk, but also the mid-range shot. Okay? Both Steph and Michael Jordan, they're the only players to play on teams that won 70-plus games. But when a 67-plus win season after that. Okay? Not to mention, Steph and Michael Jordan, they also have, you know, two teams, right, that are considered to be the greatest of all time. Okay? Everybody, they make these hypotheticals comparing the 72 and 10 team in 1996, comparing them to the 2017 team, okay? Where the Warriors went 16-1 and they won 67 games, right? So they both played on all-time great teams. Both of them did, right? And they are relatable. They're very marketable, okay? And when it comes to Steph, right, he's possibly the best player of this decade. Okay, when it comes to being a part of one organization, okay, building with one organization. Michael Jordan, he did the exact same thing. He did. All right. Now, their style of play isn't the same, okay? But they are both very marketable, and I understand why Steve Kerr will call Steph Curry the modern-day Michael Jordan. Because, listen, everybody nowadays, they're all shooting half-court shots, okay? Everybody's shooting a three. They're inspired by that, okay? Whereas in back in the day, everybody, they were inspired by Michael Jordan's ability to play ISO ball and stuff like that. And you got the AIs, you got the Kobe's, you got the T-Macs right after that. Okay? As of right now, you got the Trae Young's. Okay, you got the Trae Youngs. And then when Steph Curry retires, you're gonna have way more players that's gonna be playing exactly like Steph. Okay. So I think that Steph, he's more influential than LeBron James in the game of basketball. Now from a not from a business perspective, LeBron James, he's more influential when it comes to basketball. I'm leaving a team perspective. Okay. When it comes to free agency, he probably was the first player to be like, to be like, the fans, they don't owe me anything. Okay. I don't owe the fans anything. All right. That's exactly what he was thinking when he made that move to Miami. All right. He made a business decision. Okay. And it worked out for him. All right. He ended up winning two championships in 4 years. All right. He learned how to win under Dwyane Wade. You cannot take that away from him. But at the end of the day, he decided to take control of his own destiny. He did. He did. So LeBron James, so LeBron James, that ended up, being very influential on players. You got Kevin Durant, you got Kawhi Leonard, did the same thing. Okay. And then LeBron James, he decided to do it again. He went to Cleveland. He grabbed Kevin Love and he got with Kyrie. Then he did the same thing with the Lakers. The same thing. Okay. He got Anthony Davis on the squad. Okay. So LeBron James, he has been influential. I'm not saying he hasn't been influential, but when it comes to actually playing the game, that's going to have to go to Steph. Okay. And do not bring up Kobe because Kobe, he copied off of Mike. Everything he did. Everything he did. So it's hard for somebody to say you're influential and you're a copycat. All right. Just the facts. Okay. Like I said, MJ, he's very marketable. Steph, he's very marketable. But the difference in marketing is, MJ, he took the game global. All right. He did that in 1992. Took the game to a whole nother level. All right. Now, not only that, with the sneakers and, all that stuff, everybody wanted to be like Mike. Okay. I mean, LeBron James, as of right now, he's wearing number 23. Okay. So that's what happened. But when it comes to Steph Curry, is he the modern day MJ? I would say yes, he is. Okay. Like I said, he's the leader of a dynasty. So was MJ. Very popular. Okay. They're very relatable in terms of their bodies, in terms of their body structure. Okay. MJ don't got muscles on his neck. Neither does Steph Curry. They both don't got muscles on their neck. All right. Unlike LeBron James. Okay. Unlike LeBron James, who's built like the Hulk. So that's my perspective on the Michael Jordan and Stephen Curry conversation. Okay. Do I think there is a comparison there? Yes, I do. But do I believe that they're in the same class as a player? No, I do not. It's not close there. Okay. Michael Jordan, he's far better than Stephen Curry as a player. But when it comes to everything else, the inspiration and, the marketing and, the size and also, their play styles and, their teams winning great on both of their organizations, those things are very similar. Okay. And that's it on that. And that's it on my podcast. Have a great rest of your weekend. Hopefully my picks will be right again. And remember, let's not be inches, feet, meters, nor yards. Let's be miles ahead. Don't forget to hit the like, comment, and subscribe. Have a good one.